Let's open them up to Acts chapter 16. So we continue on in the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 15. Notice it says in verse 6, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they'd come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Let's pray. Lord, open your word to us. Teach us by your Spirit. And Lord, as we look today at the leading of the Holy Spirit, that is something all of us as believers need to understand. Lord, we understand the big things. When you speak so loud, it is impossible to ignore. We get it. But oftentimes, Lord, you're speaking to us and probably to many in this room right now and even through the teaching this morning. But if we don't know what to look for, we don't know your voice. So God, I pray you would teach us. Show us how you led Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke, and all this group that was traveling. Show us, Lord, how you lead us. Help us to understand so that we can expand our horizon and we can look for ways for you to lead us that we may not normally even be paying attention to. Lord, by your Holy Spirit now, quicken us. Let us be attentive to your Spirit and to hear what the Spirit would say to the church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1991, my best friend committed to 2 more years with YWAM in the Middle East. And as she was about to go, her pastor said, "All right, I will support you in this and I will stand with you in this. But if war breaks out, you've got to promise me you'll come home." Well, what are the odds of war breaking out? Well, in the Middle East, maybe not too bad. So she headed off and got to the Middle East. And as you know, in 1991, the Iraq war broke out. And the last day of January, Tracy, my now wife, flew back to the United States. Now, I can tell you, knowing my wife, when she made that commitment, she meant it. When she sets her mind to do something, she will do it unless war breaks out and stops it. I'm joking, obviously, but God used a war in the Middle East to redirect his will for Tracy so she would come home and be my wife and we would start ministry together. Now, I am on a very personal level, very grateful for that, but it's a great illustration of what we're going to see with Paul today, because Paul was the type of personality that unless some type of war stopped him, he would do what he was committed to do. Whether it was an inner turmoil war, whether it was a literal war, whatever it might be. And we're going to see something very interesting. God will do what it takes to get our attention and redirect us in the direction he wants us to go. And if God has to use a war to do it, God will use a war to do it. Again, I'm not saying that God started the Gulf War for Tracy's sake or my sake, but I'm making a point. God will use whatever is out there in our lives to redirect us. And sometimes some of you may be going through a war this morning. It may be a financial war. It may be an emotional war. It may be a physical war with some ailment you have that you can't be healed of. You're going possibly through a war. Listen, here's what I want you to grab more than anything. God, if you're a believer, God will use this to direct your life in the way he wants you to go if you will just be open to his Spirit and sensitive to his Spirit. And today as we go through this, we're going to look at 5 different things that God used in Paul's life and God will use in our lives to lead us by the Holy Spirit. And my guess is that most of us in this room only look for 2 of those 5. And if you're only looking for 2 of those 5, you're going to miss what it is that God wants to do in your life. Every one of us wants to do the will of God. That's our desire. God, what is your will? Show me your will. And you know, in Romans, it says that if we will simply offer our body as a living sacrifice, that God will lead us by that and show us his good and perfect will. But we have to know what we're looking for when we look in God's will, because oftentimes we have plans and God has different plans. Now, what are the ways that God will direct us in his will? Again, I'll tell you these things at the beginning, and we're going to see them as we go through this passage. Number 1, God will direct us by his Spirit through the word. As you spend time reading the word and going over God's word, he will speak to you and give you his will and tell you the direction that he wants you to go. Now, that one's fairly obvious. I think most of us probably know that if we know the Lord. The second one is also fairly obvious. God will speak to us by the voice of his Holy Spirit to our heart. It's not an audible voice. We don't hear God, you know, "Hello, Mark," you know, type thing. probably if I ever did, it would be a rebuke. You know, get him upset enough. That's probably when I'll hear him, you know, if it ever would be the kind of thing that would happen to me. But we'll hear his voice and he'll speak to our heart. That's the second way through prayer that most of us probably know about, the word of God and hearing the voice of God through prayer. But there are three other ways I want to point out that God will use as well. One is our circumstances. God will oftentimes use your circumstances to direct you. Lord, I want to go into missions next week, but you don't have the money. That means you can't go. Lord, I want to do this. Lord, I want to do that. Your circumstances don't allow it. Lord, I'd like to get involved in that. I can't because of whatever the situation might be. And because of circumstances, God will show us his will and direct us for that portion of our life. Another one can be environment. What is our environment? And quite literally, it might be a storm that stops us from getting to a city that we were determined to get to do some event. Maybe it's a sickness. I know I've had people before that have come to my house and I wanted to go share the gospel with them and I got so sick I couldn't get out of bed. Now, I can see that two ways, whether the enemy trying to stop me, and maybe it was, but if it's God, then God would give me the strength to get up and begin to share, would he not? And so God will lead us by our circumstances. He'll lead us by our environment as well and show us. Now, this is another one that may be hard for some of you to grasp. God will lead us oftentimes through physical ailments. But Mark, I thought that God wanted us to be healthy and strong. Not always. And it depends on your background and maybe some teaching you've heard that could sound strange to you, but we see in Scripture that God oftentimes, he himself inflicts us to complete his will. Let me call my first witness, Paul the Apostle. When Paul was first called to follow the Lord, God struck him with a physical ailment, blindness, knocked him off of his horse, and God made Paul sick so that Paul would follow the will of the Lord. And once he had Paul's attention, he said, all right, now that I've got your attention, go into Damascus. You're going to spend 3 days, and then I'm going to heal you and redirect you. Later on, it says that Paul, after seeing the visions of heaven, in order that he didn't get puffed up and that he could follow God's will and God's plan and stay humble, God once again struck Paul physically. Paul says this, and Paul said, God gave me a thorn in the flesh, so that I would not think above myself as I should and that God could direct him in his will to keep Paul on the right path. Why do I say this? God oftentimes will use even physical ailments. And some of you guys this morning, you have a physical ailment. Some of it is simply because you fell down and hurt yourself. No other reason. Some of it is simply because you were breathing in and a bug flew by. Not that kind of bug, but the kind that gets you sick. You know, I've done both actually. But the bottom line is, you got sick. So I'm not saying that every time you get sick, that every time you hurt yourself, God is striking you. And it's not some kind of judgment. You're not in sin. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you have some kind of ailment that is keeping you from doing what you truly desire to do, especially maybe something for the Lord, you need to be in prayer and say, God, are you redirecting me? Am I trying to go a direction you don't want me to go? You know, about a year ago, last January, actually at the end of the year, right before that, I began to have these thoughts about getting involved in the worship team again. That's something God has used me on and off in throughout the years, and God may still do that again in the future. But about a year ago, I was thinking, you know, I'll start doing worship again. I'm going to get involved and do all this. And yet I also felt the tug in my heart to say, no, you need to stay in the Word, stay in prayer, stay focused, feed God's people. Don't get sidetracked with too many things going on in the evenings. You have enough going on with ministry. And so I was thinking that, and all of a sudden, that January, a year ago now, what, a year ago and a couple of months, I tore a tendon in this arm. Now, at that time, I didn't know that it was a torn tendon. All I knew is that my arm really hurt, and I thought I was just an old man who couldn't lift weights anymore. After 5 months of trying to convince myself that I could do this and continuing to go to the gym, I went and got an MRI, and I torn my tendon. So I'd only made it worse over the 5 months that I tore it till the time I finally went to the doctor. And then, of course, they did the surgery, and I realized at that moment, as I realized my arm was messed up, and I couldn't, with this arm, I can't play. And God began to speak to my heart and tell me one of the reasons he allowed this to happen. I think there's probably multiple reasons. I think God's involved in this. And I think one of the reasons is, no, Mark, you're not to get involved in worship right now. I want you to be focused on other things. I'm not saying that God's going to go rip your tendon because you want to play well on the worship team, all right? What I'm saying is God will use our circumstances and even physical situations to get our attention and say, to refocus us. Now, there's two ways I can approach this. One is I could say, you know what? God, you're not fair. And God, I wanted to do this. And it was all for you, Lord. And I can get upset, right? Or the other is I can learn to trust. How about that? And say, you know what? I guess I'm not supposed to do that right now. Yeah, but I have that ability, Lord. Yeah, but I'm not supposed to do that. Here's the question. Are we willing to lay down what we want to do in our desires as God redirects to do what God wants us to do? Because are we here for ourselves or him? We're here for him. And even as Tracy desired for 2 years to finish out that commitment, God said, no, I want you back in the States. You're going to marry a young pastor and move to Knoxville. And she submitted to the will of the Lord. She did what God told her. Paul's going to do the same thing. Paul's like, Lord, I want to go there. I've got to go there. And Paul was one of these guys driven. I'm telling you, if you didn't do something drastic to Paul, he's not going to stop. And by the way, most scholars believe, because this is the region of Galatia, most scholars believe this is where Paul got his thorn in the flesh. Because Paul, it was in Galatia, Paul got his thorn in the flesh. And most scholars believe because of this, that Paul was trying so hard to go somewhere God didn't want him to go. God just said, boom. Now lay down and shut up, you know, whatever. And not that Paul would ever shut up. It's not that. But this is radical in our mindset of the leading of the Spirit of the Lord, is it not? But we have to be open to these things and say, God, are you leading me through my circumstances? Are you leading me through my environment? Are you leading me through the word? Are you leading me through prayer? How are you leading me, God? What do you want me to do? And then we find out God's leading, and as the doors open, we go through the doors, and when the doors close, we stop. It's just how God leads. You know, it's interesting. I had to go back, as you guys know. You think, Mark, have you been in that sling that long? No, I haven't. But I went back after I got the first surgery. I started using my arm a little bit too soon. And so I got some scar tissue, and they had to go back in 4.5 weeks ago and clean out what I'd already done to my arm, right? So, you know, God even used that in my life, you know, basically to say, stop using your arm. Well, you know, because he knows that it needs to heal. And so recently, last Monday, I'm trying my best. Pray for me not to use my arm. I get fussed at in good ways by people that love me. I'm trying my best not to, but it's really hard when you're standing there not to squeeze the toothpaste or to grab that little cup or what. It's hard to do that so that you can heal. It's very natural to use the arm that's there. And so last Monday, I stuck a knife in my finger and had to go to the emergency room on this same arm. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to stop using this side of my body. I'm kind of getting the message. Now, why do I say this? Don't be stubborn. Listen to the Lord. And if you think God is using things in your life to speak to you, then listen. And he'll use all these different things we've talked about. Paul, we're going to see, is going to have all these things used in his life as he goes to do this call. Now, remember last week where we left off, Paul had taken Timothy, this new young protege, this one he was going to train up, you know, and work with in this project in the ministry that he said had a heart after God. He knew, he saw the heart in him. He wanted to use him for ministry. He takes him with him. They take off. And that's where we take up here in verse 6. As Paul and Timothy are out here on the trail doing the gospel, it says, and when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, note this, this is huge to me, I have it underlined, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Would you ever believe the Holy Spirit would forbid anybody to preach the word anywhere? This right here proves he does. You mean there are times God will say, do not say a word? You mean there's times that God will tell you not to go to that person and share? Absolutely. I've had God do that to me before. The Bible says, don't throw pearls to swine. And he's not calling people names as much as what he's saying is, there are some people who cannot appreciate the value of my word and where they are in their life right now. They'll only mock it. They'll only trample it. Don't even share it with them. When Jesus stood before Herod, he said not one word to Herod. He at least talked to Pilate. He talked to the high priest. He talked to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He had not one word for Herod. How sad when our heart becomes so opposed to God that he has not one thing he can say to us. Or he wouldn't even say to us, listen to me. Because we wouldn't even listen to that. And this is where, again, God will sometimes say, I forbid you to do that. I'm going to have somebody else do it. Now, again, there's or nobody at all, depending on what the situation is. And again, Paul was one of those guys that you just don't stop. The Holy Spirit forbid him. It doesn't tell us how the Holy Spirit forbid him. But again, because of the timing, because of Galatia, because of what Paul talks about, many believe that this was, he was forbidden by his thorn in the flesh. God said, you know, Paul, I'm going no matter what. I'm going no matter what. Boom, you're not going. All right, you got me. I'm not going. I can't do it. I mean, Paul was so stubborn about doing what he wanted to do. His intent was good. His heart was good. He wanted to do all these things for God, but it wasn't always God's clear directing. Even going down to Jerusalem, I'm not saying that wasn't God's directing. I think it was. But even on the way down to Jerusalem, the prophet Agabus, you know, wraps himself up in this, one of the prophets wraps himself up in this thing and says, Paul, you're going to be arrested and thrown in jail. Paul said, I don't care. I'm ready to die. And so God allowed him to do it because it wasn't Paul's time to go. But the point is, Paul was committed to doing it. And we have to realize that no matter how badly we want to share, maybe with that parent or that brother or that sister, if their heart is hard as a brick, sometimes we need to wait. And I've had situations where I'm thinking, man, this person needs the Lord, but I can hear the Holy Spirit. Don't say a word. They're not going to hear you right now. They're only going to mock you at this point. And so again, they're forbidden by the Spirit. And God says, you know, God has something else in mind, if you will. But it's amazing to think the Holy Spirit will prevent us sometimes from going to certain places and doing certain things. No matter how hard we kick on the door, God will meet us and God will do what it takes to stop us. And quite frankly, I'm thankful that God will do what it takes to stop us. You know, it's interesting. Just as an example of this, it depends on our mindset if we can see God working in everything. On that same Monday, that rainy Monday that I poked my finger, went to two different doctors, went to my first doctor. He said, oh, you need to go to the emergency room. Go to the emergency room. Then I find out there's a, you know, I have to do some work on one of my tires and it's got a nail in it. Get that fixed. And before I'm leaving the tire place, my wife has a flat and it's broken down the side of the road with the girls, right? And all these things are happening at the same time. And listen, when these kind of things happen in your life, you have options. You can either grumble and complain, or you can look for the Lord. And I'm going to be honest with you. In the past, there have been many times I've grumbled and complained. I have, when these things have happened. So I'm not going to say I haven't. But this was one of those grace days. You ever had a grace day? Where God's just giving grace. And it was like a great day. I was having fun. I think this is awesome. I mean, I don't like the fact that I'm going to two tire places and spending all this money. And my wife and kids are on the side of the road. And I've cut my finger on the end. And I don't like all this stuff. But God, I know you're using it. You have a reason for this. How do I know that God didn't just save the life of my wife and children by giving them a flat tire on the side of the road on a rainy day? Praise the Lord for that. You never know what God has done. We have to make sure that our eyes are open to the work of the Spirit in the believer's life. And rather than saying, God, how could you do this? My arm's already hurt. Now you cut my finger. Now it's raining. Now I have a tire fixed. Now my wife's got a flat tire. Now my, just found out this morning my water heater's leaking at home right now during church. And all these things, and that's true, but all these things, right? And I can sit here and go, God, how could you do this? Marcus, because I do love you. This is my sign of love to you. Why? You have no idea what I'm doing. You have no idea. And if you knew, you would be thanking me with praise offerings. We've got to learn to realize he loves us. And everything he does is for a purpose. Everything in our lives. Paul had to learn this. And as bad as Paul wanted to go and do all this stuff, Paul couldn't do it. You know, God wouldn't let him. Because again, he had something else that he wanted Paul to do. He had someone else he wanted Paul to go to. He had another region he wanted Paul to reach. But all Paul could think of is all those poor people who needed Jesus in that area. Yes, they needed Jesus. And God had a plan to send someone, as we're going to see in just a moment. But it wasn't Paul. And look at verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. But note this, the Spirit did not permit them. So again, the Holy Spirit stopping them from going to this area and sharing the gospel and doing these kind of things, again, goes against everything that our mind would normally think with the leading of the Spirit. Lord, that can't be you. It's got to be the enemy. No, it's God sometimes. And we have to be sensitive to that. Now, it's interesting here. The Holy Spirit may have given us some insight into why he wouldn't let them go to Bithynia. Because oftentimes God uses the language to speak to us and to give us insight if we just pay attention. The word Bithynia, interestingly enough, means a violent rushing. And it may be that if God had allowed Paul to continue on to Bithynia, there would have been a violent rushing upon he and Timothy and they'd have been killed. You know, in certain areas, they weren't ready to hear it. And they would put you to death. So God in his mercy may have just spared Paul's life, may have just spared Timothy's life. And no doubt they were going, Lord, why won't you let us go? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Why is the door closed, Lord? What are you doing, Lord? I'm not saying they were doing that. I think Paul trusted the Lord. But at the same time, I speak for me, what my mind would have been doing, how I would have been thinking. You know, God says, you know, I may be protecting you from a violent rushing, something that would happen to you that would have destroyed you. I've got more work for you to do. So trust me and relax. But there's another important thing to note here. Even though Paul continues to run into obstacles, note this, he doesn't give up, but he continues to move forward. Now, this is the key, gang. If God shuts a door, if doors get closed on us, we try to step out and do ministry or do what we feel God wants us to do. If the door closes, we need to say, well, then where is it open, Lord? Because you're going to do something. Even if it's nothing but finding that prayer closet where you can pray, there's going to be an open door for ministry. And what I love about Paul is Paul never took no for an answer. Paul, you know, was the kind of guy, again, that if there's an open door, he's going to go through it. If there's not an open door, then he's probably going to force his way in if he can, unless God stops him. And so here Paul is trying to do this, and God said, no, Paul, this is not what I want you to do. I'm not going to permit you to go in there. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to follow me, and you're going to have to do what I tell you to do. But Paul keeps going, and that's a lesson for us. Keep going. Look at verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And now we're going to see in verse 9, God, after stopping Paul dead in his tracks, instead of Paul's vision, now God gives Paul God's vision. Look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now I'm adding the us. But I wonder if it wasn't read that way. I wonder if it didn't say it that way. Paul, you're trying to go everywhere else. We need you over here. The door's open. Come to us. We're wide open, and we need you to come and minister to us. And so God directs him by a vision. And after he had seen the vision, now again, I love Paul. Notice this. When he knows which way he's supposed to go, he doesn't waste any time. He's not a procrastinator. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So now they have direction, they take off, and the wind is at their back rather than stopping them. Now, something to note before we move on and see what happens here over these next few verses, and we see what happens when they head down there. Notice it says in verse 10, we sought to go to Macedonia. At the first part of this chapter, it says they, as if it's a person writing in the third person. Now suddenly it shifts right here in this book from this point on to we. Why? Well, because many believe this is where Luke joined up with Paul and Timothy in his journeys. We know that Luke wrote the book of Acts, and we know that Luke traveled with Paul. And it's interesting, if indeed this was Paul's thorn in the flesh that happened right here, which again, many believe it was, and I think that's highly likely that God used that to stop him in a physical ailment, Luke was a doctor. And so this is great. Now it's like, man, I'm hurt. I'm messed up. I got this thorn in the flesh. Hey, there's this doctor who loves Jesus. He'd love to travel with you guys. Great. I'd like a doctor to travel with me. How about you guys? I'd like a doctor to travel with me, especially the last year. Yeah, that'd be great. But the bottom line is, this probably shows all the more reason that indeed something had happened to Paul. He now takes this doctor with him. And this doctor now, from this point on, begins to travel with them in the book of Acts and in their journeys. Now we see where it happens as they get on down to Philippi. Notice verse 11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. And the next day we came to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia. Again, this is a certain area of Macedonia. It was a colony, and we were staying there in that city for some days. Again, they stayed there in Philippi for some days. This is interesting to note too, again, as you're following the leading of the Spirit, and indeed they were following the leading of the Spirit. But note this, on their way to where God called them to be, they stopped over in Philippi because God told them to. What's my point? Simply this, as God leads us, let's be sensitive to what God is doing on our way to where we're traveling. You know, God will say, oh, look, I've called you to this, but maybe as we're called to that, there may be something that delays us. There may be something where God says, I want to do a work here before you continue on to Knoxville or wherever you're going to go. There may be something here I want you to do. And so be sensitive to my Spirit and follow me. And so the leading of the Lord, remember Jesus when he was traveling down to Jerusalem, he was going to be crucified. And it said, he said, I must go into Samaria. He had to go into Samaria, it says. He had to. Why? There was a woman there at a well waiting to hear the gospel who was going to affect an entire city. An entire town. And so the Lord was sensitive to the Spirit to be able to be directed another area for a few days to preach the gospel there. My point is simply this. Once we know where God wants us to go and what he wants us to do, let's don't lose our sensitivity to the Spirit. Lord, you've told me to go downtown and share today. So here I'm going to go. I'm going to go downtown and share. God may redirect that. You know, he may give you a flat tire on the way and somebody may pull you over, you know, you get to share with whoever's helping you or whatever. And they, Lord, I can't believe it. I was going to go downtown. I was going to share. And somebody pulls over. It's one of you ladies. They're helping you change a tire. And God moves in your heart. Somehow the issue of church comes up or the Lord, you begin to say, well, let me share about me. You begin to share your testimonies. They're changing the tire or whatever. Now make sure they're almost done because you don't want them to walk off. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But you have a chance to share, right? Maybe God, the whole time he never intended you to go to campus and share. The whole time it was to meet that person who you knew would stop on the side of the road and help you change your tire. So you can either get frustrated and say, Lord, I was going to serve you today, but the enemy gave me a flat tire. No, I flattened your tire so that I could have Julie stop by and you could share Christ with Julie. I remember right after I came to the Lord, God had me run into a couple of, I've shared this with you before, of Jewish ladies to share the gospel with. I don't know why. Not that they shouldn't be shared with, but it just seemed like that was kind of obvious. Somebody ran into me, knocked me off the road, and my car knocked down this guy's mailbox. Anyway, I had a wreck. And it was a Jewish girl that hit me. So she gets in the squad car, and we're filling all the reports, you know, as inside. It was either raining or else it was night. I forget which it was. But the policeman was saved as well, and we began to kind of tag team witness to her. And so the cop's up there sharing, I'm back there sharing, and we're all kind of sharing with her, you know, sharing the Lord with her. And I could, the whole time, I could say, Lord, this is a terrible time. There's never a good time for a wreck, right? This is a terrible time for a wreck. You know my financial situation. You know that I need a vehicle. You know all this. You know that. God said, Mark, I'll take care of your transportation. She needs Jesus. You follow me? And we've got to somehow rise above what we think we have to do for what God wants to do. This is something I believe God was teaching Paul and doing in Paul's life. And so as they come on down to even finally get the open door that Paul wanted, they stop over in Philippi. And does it say exactly what they did there other than they were there for a few days? They stayed there. No doubt God had a work for them. And notice verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, very interesting verse. Notice they're at the riverside where prayer was customarily made. When Paul went to any town, he would always go to the synagogue of the Jews first thing. And now we find Paul going down to the riverside. Why? That shows us that there was no synagogue in this region. This city did not have a synagogue. How do we know that? Because they would have had a synagogue and been meeting there. But the way the Jews did it, if they didn't have a synagogue, they would meet down by the river if there was one nearby because they could do all their ritual cleansings and have their ceremonies and their ritual cleansings, their mikvahs, which were kind of a, similar to a baptism, as they would cleanse themselves ritually and all this stuff. So they had the river to do that in. But it's interesting because you had to have at least 10 Jewish males in order to have a synagogue. And here we see they obviously didn't have 10 at least Orthodox Jewish males in this town for Paul to share with. And it says Paul spoke to the women, which would indicate no men were there at all. So again, this was a town that needed the gospel, and they needed the men to hear the gospel. And we don't know exactly why there weren't any there, other than there's a very good chance that this was because the current emperor at that time, Emperor Claudius, had expelled all the Jews from Rome where he could find them for what he called religious disturbances. Philippi nearby was a Roman colony. And so again, these orders could have spilled down. It might have been because of this thing where all the Jewish men were gone. But notice this, God had redirected Paul's life by whatever it was God used to speak to this one woman and these few women by a riverside rather than some great event in the city. I don't know about you guys, but I think about Paul the Apostle. If Paul's coming to my town, there's going to be a big stage with big speakers, lights, and probably some kind of band first to draw the kids in. And once all the kids are there, ladies and gentlemen, Paul the Apostle. And Paul goes out and gives the gospel, right? Probably would contact all the local news stations and whatever. And I'm not saying necessarily that's wrong, but look at the way God works. Look at the way the Holy Spirit works. God said, no, Paul, you can't go there. No, Paul, you can't go there. I'm going to send you to a riverside to a few women to share the gospel because I'm going to use those women to change the world. It's interesting. We're going to see in just a moment. He shares with a woman by the name of Lydia who gives her life to Christ. And it's interesting that Lydia was from the very area that God forbid Paul to go. Isn't that interesting? In other words, Paul, you're not the right guy for that area. If you went in there, Paul, I mean, who knows? Maybe he was too abrupt. Maybe he was, who knows what the situation was? Maybe the population mix, who knows? But Lydia understands that area. I want you to speak the word to Lydia. Going to save her entire family. She'll take the gospel back to that area. And that's exactly what God does. And so we have to realize when God redirects us, he's often doing something that is going to just redirect the gospel through someone else and then free us up to go somewhere else like he did for Paul. And so I love to watch how the Spirit works, how the Lord works. Again, it's interesting. Thyatira was a city of Asia Minor located in modern-day Turkey at the border of Lydia and Mysia. Again, it was known for its purple dyes, which were very expensive, and the attire of wealth and royalty. Very possibly Lydia here, you know, again, being involved in this whole industry, probably a very wealthy woman or a good chance of that. And God could use her to spread the gospel in that region. Now, we don't know all the details of her life and all that was going on here. But notice what it says. There was a certain woman, verse 14, named Lydia. She heard us, and she was a seller of purple. Note that. That was her industry, her business, from the city of Thyatira, and she worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now, this is exciting to me, again, because not only the fact that God could use her and the resources he'd given her as a seller of purple, no doubt a very wealthy person, but notice this, God sent Paul the Apostle to this woman here by the riverside. He loved her so much that he shut all the other doors down so she could be reached. That's amazing to me. I mean, you would think that if you're going to be reached by Paul the Apostle, it wouldn't be sitting on a riverside in Thyatira. As I said, it would be in some major city and, you know, where Paul's downtown speaking or some big venue. What's my point in all that? God will do what it takes to reach you wherever you are. And some of you may feel like you're sitting alone at a riverside this morning. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now where you are. The rivers of living water are flowing right by you, and all you've got to do is reach out and drink. And God will start a war. God will cause an illness. God will do whatever he has to do to get the gospel to you because he loves you that much. And if we're willing to be used, sometimes God will use us to do that. And I believe that's exactly what's happening here with Lydia. No doubt Lydia was crying out to God saying, God, there's got to be more. I know the religion of the Jews, but it's not enough. I'm empty. There's something more. Again, I think we see some other indications and maybe insight by the Holy Spirit, because Thyatira incidentally means the odor of affliction, and Lydia means travail. It doesn't tell us, but because of the Holy Spirit's hint here, I believe that probably Lydia was in some type of affliction and was crying out to the Lord in travail down by the riverside. Oh, God, God, you've got to hear me, Lord. Something's missing. I don't know what it is. And here's Paul. Lord, we're going down to Macedonia. No, you're not. I'm going to send you to Lydia. She really needs you. She wants you. She has the resources to reach the area of her, the people of her area. She has the heart. She knows them. She's crying out for the truth. Oh, Lord, we're going in. Nothing's going to stop us. Now, Paul, there's this lady over. And I'm not saying this conversation went on. Paul would never directly disobey the Lord. I'm getting the heavenly vantage point. Paul was set on going somewhere else, and God said, no, you're going to go to Lydia, this lady by the riverside, because that's where I'm going to direct you by my Spirit. And if I have to cause whatever I have to cause to get you there, I'm going to do it. You're going to share with her, and we're going to use you to go somewhere else, and she's going to be used by me to change her whole region. So see how the Holy Spirit works. Never think that just sharing with one person doesn't matter. Can you imagine being the guy that day, you always hear the story about Billy Graham, a little boy who they gave an invitation in his classroom. He accepted Christ that day. Can you imagine the teacher? Oh, that's sweet. I'm so glad, you know, my little Billy gave his life to the Lord today. Guys, did you hear that? Isn't it neat? Good. Yeah, it's so exciting. Let's go get lunch. And God says, I'm about to change the world. Powerful. Don't ever think that one little one you lead to the Lord could not change the world. Literally, be faithful. So maybe in travail, maybe in affliction, she's listening and all of a sudden, you know, God comes in. I love this language because it says that God opened her heart when Paul began to share. Literally in the language, what it means is he swung the double doors wide open of her heart. Is that powerful or what? He swung the double doors. It's like double doors swinging open is what it's like in the language. And it's this whole picture. If it wasn't just like a little bit, God is like, boom, I am ready. Share the gospel with me. And God did it. You ever met people like that where God just opens their heart to receive the gospel? It's very rare for me. Most of the time, it's like when I try to share the Lord with people, the door gets slammed and they look at this kind of, you know, through the peephole going, what's this guy going to have? Not literally, but, you know, you feel like that. You know, all right, what do you got to share? You're some, you know, religious weirdo or whatever, you know, and they kind of look at you funny, right? I love it when God just slings the door open. You know, I had that happen one time in Market Square. We're down there sharing the gospel. And I've never had great luck doing street witnessing, leading people to the Lord. I know that some plant, some water, but I think, Lord, every once in a while, let me lead them to the Lord, you know. And I kind of had one of those nights going, I'll go with you guys. It'd be great. But I'm already thinking. I already said, nobody's going to come to the Lord. I'll share. I'll plant seeds. I'll water. But they're not going to come. They never do. Like the first two, I walked, both of them, standing there together. You guys like to hear about the Lord? Yes. And just boom, their hearts flew over. They both received Christ right there. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I get the point. Just go do it. Here's the point. We can't open a heart, can we? God opens the heart. What's our job? To share. Our job is to share the gospel. It's God's job to open the heart. God swung the doors open of Lydia's heart. Lydia's excited. Lydia receives the Lord, the message that he gave, and the things spoken by Paul. And look at verse 15. It says, and when she and her husband were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us. And again, very persuasive, no doubt. Strong businesswoman. And Paul needs a place to stay anywhere. And she's like, come on home and I'll make a big meal. You're staying at my place. And they need a place. And so they end up staying there at Lydia's. And no doubt had a great evening together. Knowing Paul, he probably taught her ears off until the wee hours of the morning, as he was known to do, and even people fall asleep and fall out of windows before. So Paul, no doubt they had quite the evening, and I'm sure she didn't mind any of it. And so again, guys, as we look at this today, listen, here's what I want us to take with us today. As we finish looking at the leading of the Holy Spirit, there's several things I want you to note here. Number one, sometimes the Holy Spirit will forbid us from doing things and going certain places, even if it's our greatest desire. We want to do it with all of our heart, but God says, no, I know what's best for you, and you're my servant. I want you to do this instead. And that's a real test of the heart. Are we going to be submissive to the Lord and say, your will be done, not mine, not my will, your will be done, even as the Lord did in the garden. So sometimes God will forbid us. We need to know that. And we need to also ask ourselves if we're willing to give that up if we see God has closed the door. Secondly, if we refuse to listen to the leading of the Lord, he uses many different methods. He'll use his word to direct us by the Spirit. He'll use the voice, his voice to our heart by the Spirit. He'll use our circumstances by his Spirit. He'll use our environment by his Spirit. And he'll even use physical infirmity to speak to us and direct us. Guys, we have to be open to all of those and say, all right, God, I hear you. What do you want to say? I want to encourage you guys today to be open to the leading of the Spirit. Whatever God's telling you to do, to be open to it. Say, all right, Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? Now, some of you this morning, God's been leading you by the Spirit in one of those five ways, and you haven't even recognized it until this morning. You're going, whoa, I think maybe God's leading me, and I never thought about anything beyond the word and prayer, but, you know, I don't really have the finances to do that right now. I see that environmentally, I can't really do that right now because of the environment that I'm in, whatever the case may be. I see there's some physical reason that I can't, whatever the case might be, trust him. Trust him and say, okay, God, you've closed these doors down. What door have you opened for me? I'll be willing to go through it and serve you. And so be willing to lay down anything that God has closed on you and then go to the doors that are open. And by the way, just because God has closed a door on you guys, it doesn't mean he's not going to open it up later. Maybe there's something in your heart you really want to do for the Lord, but it just, the door hasn't opened. And you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. Listen, weight training is some of God's best way to get our attention. I testify to it. Sometimes it takes weight training to slow us down, to get our attention, and to say, this is the path. This is the way. I'll lead you. I want to pray and ask God to open our hearts, to swing wide the double doors of our hearts, to hear what he would say to us and what his will is for us. If he says no to something we want, to be willing to accept it. If he says yes, then run through it. If he says wait, well, then just allow his weight training to do its work in your life. Let's pray. Father, so many different hearts in here and so many different needs. We, as your children, need to learn to follow the Holy Spirit. We need, Lord God, to learn to follow your voice and to hear your voice. And for many of us, Lord, and I know for me, especially on the first few years of my walk, I only really looked to the word and prayer for the most part, as far as I remember. Maybe I was aware of some things, but I don't remember that much. I know the word and prayer is how I looked for you to lead me for the most. And yet, God, I know that sometimes you'll use even storms, our environment. Sometimes you'll use our circumstances, the situation we're currently in. Sometimes you'll even use physical maladies and even give them to us for your sovereign purpose so that your will can be fulfilled. Lord, we submit to that. We say, Lord, for those who agree with me in here, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Even as Jesus said in the garden, Lord, your word says that Jesus did not want to go to the cross. He despised the shame, but he did it because he knew it was your will. He suffered for you because he knew that's what you wanted him to do. And he did it, Lord, for the joy that was set before him. Lord, this morning, help us to make that same commitment, to lay down our lives, to suffer for your namesake if need be, Lord, to lay down what we want so that we can do what you want. For the joy that's set before us, because this earth is temporary, Lord, and the kingdom's forever. Lord, let us hear your voice. Let us follow your Spirit. Let us follow the leading of your Spirit. And again, Lord, if there's any this morning that maybe for the first time are hearing your voice and their heart has been swung wide open, even as Lydia's, to receive you, that right now, Lord, they would confess their sin and receive you as Lord. What a great move of your Spirit that would be. And Lord, you do it. It's just our job to tell the good news, that Jesus died and rose again from the grave. And if you simply confess your sins, anybody in this room, and you receive him, the Bible says, you'll be saved. If you want to do that, I want you to do that right now. Just pray between you and the Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would give that assurance and that comfort and that joy to any that may have received you right now. And Lord, you know. But God, for those of us that already know you, help us to hear your Spirit, to follow your Spirit, Lord, and to be sensitive in any of these five or a multitude of other ways that you choose to speak to us. Lord, let us be sensitive and follow you. And we ask it in Jesus' name.